Bible, open it with me to the book of 1 John, chapter number 3. 1 John, chapter number 3. What's a blessing when the Holy Ghost comes, first night of the meeting, ain't it? Amen. How many of you can testify he will take you through it all? Praise God. You may be in a storm, but according to Mark 4, there's another side of that storm. And there's some other ships in that storm. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for it. I'm glad he will get us through it. Amen. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not, he didn't bring us to it to let us die in it. He brought us to it to bring us through it. Praise God. And I'm glad for it. I'm honored to be here tonight, and I thank the Lord for this opportunity. And, man, it's intimidating enough to preach in the Taylorsville camp meeting with such heritage as it has, but to also get to preach with one of my heroes, Brother Joe, tonight. What an honor it is for me to get to do that, and I thank the Lord. I told him I was going to do like he did for Brother Sammy Allen several years ago. We were at a meeting, and he has to preach before Brother Allen. And Brother Joe got up and just said, well, it's good to be here. I want to introduce Brother Allen. And walked off the platform and said, he can have my time. I said, you mess with me. I said, I'll do the same thing. I said, Brother Joe, it's good to have you here. Just come on, take my time. Amen. 1 John chapter number 3. When you find your place, let's stand together. 1 John chapter number 3. I'll read three verses. And we probably spread this thought over tonight, maybe tomorrow night, Lord's will. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Well, we can stop right there and shout for 30 minutes, and somebody ought to take a text and preach on Jesus love me, this I know. Not because I felt like it, but because the Bible told me so. There's a lot of days my feelings would have been deceptive in my life, but I'm glad I got something that's deeper than how I feel. Amen. The Bible said, oh, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Well, I like that now. Praise God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Verse number 3. The Bible said, every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You can be seated. I want you to keep your Bible open, and we're going to look back in these verses. But I want to take my text tonight in verse number 3, where your Bible said, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Several months ago on Sunday nights, I try to preach through a book of the Bible on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, but I started several weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, preaching out of the book of 1 John. And man, I tell you what, I thank God for the book of 1 John. I started preaching on the thought, certain truth for uncertain times. Certain truths for uncertain times. If you understand, you Bible students, that the book, the epistles of John, were the very last books that were recorded in the canon of the Word of God. And you understand, we listen to the last words of men before they die, and we put a lot of weight on those words they say right before they die. But can I tell you, how much more should we take account of the words that God the Holy Ghost had to say to us before he laid the pen of inspiration down for the last moment? And well, what better one to write of the last words that God had to say to this world than John the Beloved, amen, the disciple whom Brother Joe preaches, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm glad there is an intimate discipleship, amen. I'm glad you don't have to stay on the outskirts. I'm glad you don't have to be out in the barn somewhere, but I'm glad, thank God, there is an invitation to the inner circle of fellowship with the Son of God. John, he wrote the book of John to convince sinners. I'm glad John 3:16 is still in the book. For God, I'm glad he just didn't love, but I'm glad he so loved the world that he gave. Anytime you find the love of God in your Bible, it's not attached to a feeling. It's not attached to an emotion. But when you find the love of God, it's attached words to an action. I'm glad he just didn't love me, but I'm glad he loved me enough that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the apostle wrote John to convince some sinners. Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? I want to go on record tonight and say, as a 13-year-old boy, about 12, 15, one Sunday morning, while they were singing, lead my steps by the river that follow the way, I believed the report, and I got convinced that he was who he said he was, and he would do for me what he said he would do. And can I say, after 28 years of being born again, I'm still convinced that he is who he said he was. Thank God John said he is who he is. He wrote the book of John to convince sinners, but then he wrote the book of Revelation to comfort some saints. Hey, can I tell you what? I'm not like Chicken Little walking around, brother Joel, flipping my fingers, wondering what's going to happen, and saying the skies are falling, the skies are falling, the skies are falling. Honey, the sky's not falling, and the UFO's not coming, but honey, the Son of God, seated on a white horse, with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name on his thigh, that's who I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in that eastern sky, friend. And thank God I don't have to fear tomorrow. But the future is not my enemy. But the future has no dread. Because I read where we left today, Revelation 4:1. It said there was a door open, and he said, come up hither. And thank God Almighty, it may be today. And it brings comfort to my soul that Jesus is coming soon. I'm glad, thank God, the book of Revelation holds no dread for the child of God. Listen to me. He's called the Lamb twice. Lord, in the Gospels, I think twice in the Epistles, but 28 times in the book of the Revelation, he is called the Lamb of God. I'm glad that's his apocalyptical title. It wasn't the lion that could open the book. It wasn't the day star that could open the book, but they found a Lamb who was worthy. And thank God I know who he is. And I'm glad when this thing's wound up, the Lamb's going to be in the throne. The bride's going to be in the house. And it's going to be glory by and by. Amen. Amen. He wrote the book of John to convince sinners. He wrote the book of Revelation to comfort the saints. But then he wrote these epistles to confirm his servants. I'm glad, thank God, that book of 1 John's about fellowship and knowing some things. Hey, I don't know a whole lot. But can I tell you, I don't know all about the Bible, but can I tell you the parts I do know? I know them pretty good, amen. And you're probably not going to shake me on what I believe. I'll preach it what you want to. But neighbor, I'm glad God, the Holy Ghost, has communicated some truths to me. And thank God I am convinced. I can't be dogmatic about some things. But can I tell you, Brother Wood, God, the Holy Ghost, has drove some things well deep in my soul, friend. And I'm glad I know, thank God. I'm glad he left us with some things that we can know in uncertain times. In a day when men are changing and ministries are changing, I'm glad there's some certain truth. I read where a college boy, he went back to, he was a straight-A student, involved in a lot of things. And he went back to home. His grandmother died and he went home. Went to the funeral, came back to school. He was skipping class, failing tests. He became withdrawn, and finally one of the counselors came to him and said, son, he said, what's wrong? He said, are you still mourning the loss of your grandmother? He said, it's been different since you've got back. He said, can I get you some counseling? Can we get you to talk to somebody about the grief? She said, I'm not grieving about my grandmother. But he said, well, what's wrong? And he said, well, while I was home, I got my grandmother's Bible. And I opened up the Bible. I got back there in the front part of the Bible. It said, well, it showed me that I was not part of the family. I had just been adopted. adopted. And he said, I'm tore up tonight because I don't know who I belong to. But can I tell you tonight, I don't care. Listen, if my daddy walked up tonight and said, I'm not your father, can I tell you, I still know who I belong to. I'm not wandering around in this world wondering where I came from or where I'm going. But thank God he gave me 66 books, a Holy Ghost inspired canon that tells me where I was, tells me where I am. And thank God Almighty, it tells me where I'm going. I'm glad I know who I belong to. There was a crusade. He was leading singer for the crusade up in Vancouver, Canada. He heard some little boys outside his house talking. One little boy said, my daddy can beat your daddy. And they said, well, my daddy knows the mayor. Little boy piped up and he said, well, my daddy knows the governor. And that brother been leading that singing for that crusade said, well, he heard his little boy pipe in. He said, that ain't nothing. He said, my daddy knows God. Hallelujah. Hey, I don't care if you know the mayor. I don't care if you know the governor. But can I tell you, I'm on a first name basis. I had fellowship with him today coming up the road. I thank God I know in whom I believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm glad I know some things. Thank God. I'm glad it confirms some things in our heart. 1 John 3:3 said, every man that purifieth himself hath his hope in to purify himself even as he's pure. Can I tell you something? There's people wandering the streets today looking for hope. They're looking for hope. That Bible said that man had hope in his heart. They tell me in America, every 20 minutes a teenager tries to take their life. 20 minutes. Let me tell you something, when a teenager is trying to get to the so low that they feel like, Brother Mike, the only way out is to take their life. Honey, they're looking at it. Their outlook is one without hope. But can I tell you, thank God I don't sorrow as those that have no hope. 28 years ago when I got saved, the Spirit of God got that shovel of the Holy Ghost and dug a well in my heart. And he dropped a bucket of hope in me. Hope's not, listen, we don't treat hope like the Bible does. Our hope has got a question mark in it. But when it was hope in the Bible, it was not, I hope it may come to pass with doubt. But neighbor, that hope, it was things I put my hope in. The Bible said we have an anchor, both sure and steadfast, that entereth in within the veil. I'm glad, thank God, I got a promise. And I put my hope in a promise. And I'm convinced that it's coming true. I'm convinced that it's coming true. Ernest Hemingway, that great writer, I've seen his statue down in Key West, Florida. He said, it seems like we're just as a colony of ants that are living on the end of a burning log. He may feel like that, but I don't feel like that. I'm not on a burning log. I'm not going to a burning hell. Praise God. I'm so hell-proof, you could put me in an 18-wheeler, put her in 18th gear, and honey, she'd do a U-turn before we got there. Praise God. I'm glad they may not have any hope, but there's a lively hope in my soul today. 1904, William Borden graduated from high school. His parents sent him on a trip all around the world. They said the longer he went, the more concerned that William Borden became burdened with the peoples all across the world. William Borden was a millionaire when he graduated from high school. He was in line to receive that great mining inheritance from the Borden family. And he came home and told his daddy. He said, Daddy, God's called me to be a missionary, and I'm going to China to win the Muslims to God. And he went to school. He went to Yale, and he sold out to serve God. And when he got there, he took his Bible out, and he wrote in the back of his Bible, no reserves. One of his friends had just written him a letter, told him he was throwing his life away, throwing his inheritance away, and what he thought about it, he wrote no reserves. He finished Yale, and listen, they began to offer him jobs, had been making millions of dollars in business, and he said, I'm not going that way. I'm going to serve the Lord. And he wrote no retreat. He got his Bible down and wrote no retreat. He graduated then. He went on to school. I believe it was Princeton. I got his master's degree. When he got done, he headed out to China, stopped in Egypt so he could learn how to speak Arabic, go read them Muslims. While he was in Egypt, he contracted meningitis. Family tried to get him to come home. shortly before he died, he got his Bible back down, wrote two more words, no regrets. In less than a month, William Borden was dead. The world would look at him and say, why didn't he come home? They could have got him some help. Why would he waste all those inheritance? About a month after he died, his parents got his Bible. And they opened that Bible. They got to looking at those words written in the back of his Bible. And they found those two words, no reserves. And they found Brother Joel, they found when they wrote those no reserves was when he came home and told his daddy he didn't want the inheritance. He was turning his back on the inheritance. That he was going to serve God. And then they got to looking at those two words. It said no retreat. He wrote those just after. He wrote those words just after his daddy said, you'll never work for me. You won't turn me down again. And what they did, they found out just before he died. Right before he died, he got that Bible down. And it wasn't no retreat. And it wasn't no reserves. But facing sure death there in Egypt. No reserves. And he didn't have any there to love him. He wrote no regrets. In other words, he said, I'd do it all over again. You say, how would he do that? I'll tell you how. Because God had birthed a hope in his heart. I wonder tonight, are you thinking about you ain't got no reserves? And maybe you're thinking about retreating. But can I tell you, thank God you can serve God and have no regrets tonight. Because there's a hope living in you. I read verse 3. It said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Like most husbands do, I've learned how to trail my wife through stores. And I remember one year we were in Gatlinburg walking through them stores. Every one of them had the same thing. Nothing. Amen. There were no guns. There were no balls. Amen. There were no motorcycles. There were no four-wheel drive trucks. Amen. They had nothing for me. Every Christian bookstore I went in, though, had a song playing. They had them old mountain hymns. And I read verse 3 a few weeks ago, and it stuck up in my heart. I got to listen to them hymns again. If you go in them old mountain bookstores, they get to playing that song, Whispering Hope. Whispering Hope. How I welcome thy voice. And in sorrow, it makes my heart rejoice. And I want to preach a little while tonight and tomorrow night. I'm just going to be done. I'm going to be done just a minute. But I want to preach a couple nights on this thought. Whispering hope. You say, listen, there's probably some men of God in here. You fought the battle for the last year. You've drug in this meeting wondering what you're going to do when you go home Sunday. There's a preacher's wife. Your heart's broken. You've watched the man of God labor. Listen to me. Hey, fellas, I believe a lot of times it's harder on our wife. Hey, you and I'd have quit if we hadn't had a call. But she ain't got a call. She's trusting our call. But she's holding on. But can I tell you, God may have had this camp meeting this week just so the sweet, precious Holy Ghost of God can whisper some things in your hair, some sweet nothings in your ear to help you go back and battle another year, help you go back and serve another year. That Bible said every man that hath his hope. I'm telling you what, you may have felt like you rolled in and hope was a stranger. But can I tell you, you can roll out with hope being your best friend. I'm glad there is a whisper in hope. What's it whisper to me about? I'm glad you wanted to know. Number one, and I'm done tonight. You say done, I'm going to sweat it through my britches. I'm glad I ain't fat tonight, praise God. I would have died. Hallelujah. Somebody asked me how much I weighed one time. I said in the neighborhood of 300 pounds, but it's a big neighborhood. Praise God. Amen. You say, what's it whispering to you about? Number one, I want you to look at your Bible. Look at verse number one. I'm done preaching tonight. Verse number one said, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You say, what does it whisper to you, Brother Mark? It whispers to me about who I am. Thank God. I'm not much in the eyes of this world. Hey, the ones I used to play ball with probably said I've wasted my talent. I've wasted my time. I should have done more with my college education. Or those friends that I went through finance school with probably said, hey, you should have done more. Should have went and got your MBA. You should have went and got into this company or that company. We don't listen. The world might know your name. Listen, I'm not worried about knowing that. The world knowing who I am. But can I tell you, I do have a father on the other side who I'm concerned about knowing who I am. And can I tell you, when I get down coming out, and the devil rapes and ravages my life, I'm glad the blessed Holy Ghost of God knows how to whisper to me about who I am and what the privileges I have when I got in the family of God. He didn't say we just are called the sons of God. He said, I am a son of God. You said, how can we face tomorrow? Romans 8:1 is a pretty good place. There is now. You ought to just put that left foot on that word now. Dig her in. I mean, I used to remember getting in them batting cage. When I'd get ready to bat, I'd get them steel spikes, and I'd dig that first one in. I'd take my sign. I'd dig in. If I was tonight, if I was you, I'd dig in on that first word. There is now. When I got ready to put that left hand, it wouldn't be there. It's now, therefore, no. And drop that left foot on no. Now you got right one on now, no. I tell you what, you can face hell tomorrow. You can face the storm tomorrow. You can face a disgruntled church member. You can face a disgruntled family member on the fact that there is now, therefore, no. A condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I've got hope because I'm not what I was. And thank God I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm glad I've got hope because of who I am. I think about verse 1, that love that sought us. The love, the world, all the world knows about love is lust. They've so perverted love, that's why they fall out of love. Let me tell you something, love's not something you feel. Love's something you choose to do. Amen, sir. Amen. Listen, I'm glad, thank God the Lord. I tell you, I did that old song, said I learned everything I need to know in them songs I learned as a child. Jesus loves me, this I know. I tell you what, friend, I got to study, and I didn't know this until I got to study here lately. The first mention of love in our Bible is Genesis 22. He told him, Abraham told him to take Isaac, thy son, whom thou lovest. Take him to that mountain. The second time of love, just a few short chapters after that, right after that, what was it? He said, Isaac, when he took Rebekah, his wife, and he loved her. Hello. First love, father loving a son. Second love, son loving a bride. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching, praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I didn't have to wait till Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John to get a hold of the gospel. But tucked in the seedbed of the book of Genesis, I found the truth that there was a father who loved the son and a son who loved the bride. And honey, I'm not going to hell. And there's hope in my heart because a father loved the son and a son loved a bride. This world's looking for a crossless Christianity. They're looking for a crossless Christianity, how to get in. But hey, listen, I remember reading about a little boy. You say, I don't like all them illustrations. Well, tear your Bible out. Jesus used a whole lot of parables to illustrate his truth. Hello. Read about a little girl. She'd gone to the doctor. And she had contracted a grave disease in her blood. The doctor brought the mom and dad in there and told her, said, well, said, the only way your little girl's going to live, she's going to have a blood transfusion. And said, it's going to have to be from somebody who's had this disease and conquered it before. All of a sudden, a smile came across the lady's face. And she said, just so happens our oldest son, when he was a little boy, contracted the same disease, and he's got over the disease. He said, we'll talk to him. So that mother went to that little boy and said, son, your sister's dying. And the only way she's going to live is if you'll give her your blood transfusion. He said, yes, ma'am. The day came, they hooked them up, put the needles in their arms, hooked them up the machine, rolled them in that room. The daughter said, it's time to start. And they flipped the machine on. Blood started running out of their arms, then out of his arm, into the machine, into the little girl. Big old tears started to drip down the little boy's face. The doctor walked up and said, son, what's wrong? And the little boy said, doc, he said, when do I die? When do I die? When do I die? And the doc said, son, you misunderstood. You're not going to die. We're just going to take your blood, put it in her, and we're going to give you some blood. And man, a big old smile came across his face. Oh, but can I tell you, nobody ever walked up to Calvary and said, Lord, you don't have to die. But you can get down there, but thank God he loved me enough that he bore my sin to Calvary. And when he had to shed his last drop of blood, he didn't come down, didn't save himself. I'm glad that's the love of God that saved me. What kind of love does that father have, son, have for a bride? Well, my husband and wife was having problems. I know y'all don't, but I'm married to a redhead. Y'all pray for me. That's why I had to lose some weight so I could outrun her, praise God. I mean, amen. I wasn't either. She is here, praise God. Somebody said, I would have told that. I got some of that courage. She ain't watching. It ain't on the internet, is it? Amen. Put your phones up. We live so far in the sticks, we ain't got internet. Praise God. Hey, husband and wife having problems, and they got together. They weren't going to fight. They said, I tell you what we're going to do for a month. Each of them got a box, and they said, I said, I tell you what, when you get upset with each other, we're just going to write it on a piece of paper, put it in this box, and after a month, we're going to get together. He said, we'll read what's upset us. After a month, they came together. That way, switched boxes. The wife got the box, or the husband got the box that her wife had, and he opened and started reading. He took out a piece of paper, and it said, left the dishes in the table. Took another one out. Left a cup on the end table. Left your shoes in the hall. Didn't put the seat down. Towel in the floor. And on and on. The wife got the box that the husband had. She opened up and pulled out the first sleeve. And it said, I love you. Pulled out the second piece of paper. And she read it out loud. It said, I love you. The third piece of paper, and she looked at it and said, I love you. Every piece of paper she took out of the box, her husband, and wrote in there, I love you. But can I tell you today, according to the book of Revelation, there was an accuser of the brethren that made some accusation. He didn't have to tell a lie. He didn't have to make anything up against me. I've done enough. I've thought enough. I've said enough to be guilty before God. But in my box that he's got for me, I took out a word and it said, I love you. I took out another word and it said, I love you. I tell you, that's the kind of love that sought me where I was. Blessed be God when I was unlovable. I'm glad he loved me. I'm loved with an unquenchable love, an unmeasurable love, an unending love, an eternal love, a love that won't stop. Thank God Almighty, I'm loved. Amen. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father? That Father. That manner, that means it's out of this world. Amen. I give you this and I'm done. He said that Father, that's New Testament language. That's a new word. Jesus taught them to pray saying, our Father. They had known him as Jehovah, Elohim, Adonai, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sidkenu, all them big words. But in this New Testament, it got a little bit more personal. It wasn't, oh, thou God afar off. It's Jesus. Father. Them folks, them kids at school used to make fun of me because I didn't call my dad or father. I called him daddy, and they thought that was country. Can I tell you something? They didn't have no right to call him daddy. They didn't belong to him like I did. Praise God. It's so foolish to think, listen to me. Listen, people have got such a bad idea of salvation in our day. They think you can just lose it. What a grim view to have on such a thing they call as so great a salvation. I'm not holding out to see if I got in, praise God. Hey, don't you think if anybody could have got lost from salvation, he'd at least wrote that in the Bible? Surely to goodness he'd have wrote that down. But Father, that's a family term. Three ways to get in a family, and I'm done preaching. First way is you get born in. That's the principle of life. 28 years ago, I got born in. Thank God. 42 years ago, I got born into the Stroud family. And I'm sure I've disappointed my daddy, but his name's still hanging at the back of mine. And thank God, friend, listen, there may be fellowship broken, but I'll never cease to be in his son. Thank God. You're the principle of life. Well, there's another way to get in. You can get adopted. That's the principle of law. Hey, when somebody you get adopted in, you get a representative that goes to the court on your behalf, that gains custody of you and gets all the legal documents that said you belong to him. There's a legal document in heaven. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. What did Boaz tell that near kinsman? Didn't talk a whole lot about him. He said, take your shoe off. In other words, it's legal now. Take your shoe off. You can't do it, but I can. And can I tell you, thank God at Calvary, Jesus looked at the law and said, you can't do it, but I can. Is the law sin? God forbid. Had I not known sin, had it not been for the law. But I'm telling you, thank God where law dropped off. I'm glad Jesus could. And I got in this thing on a legal foundation. Principle of life. Principle of law. Number three. Third way you can get in. You marry in. That ain't the principle of life. And that's not the principle of law. That's a principle of love. I'm so glad. You sing an old song up in the mountain. I'm so glad he found me. You say, why did he found me? He was looking for me, praise God. I used to preach and it sounded good, but ain't nobody ever went looking for Jesus. I tell you what, reading our Bible would help our preaching. I was real good till I read Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree because the Lord he wanted to see. Looked like to me he was looking for him. I started to say a sycamore tree, praise God. It's hot up here. Y'all pray for me. I thought I was going to get away with that until Brother Joe about fell off the front pew, praise God. Leave it to your heroes to find you false, praise God. His love that sought us. According to verse 2, it's not only the love that sought us, it's the love that separated us. The world knoweth us not because it knew him not. John was the very last of those 12 disciples that were left. How well did he know that the world didn't know Christ? Hey, let me tell you something. It ought not to confuse us when the world don't like us. Listen, if you don't bump into the world every once in a while, you're probably going the wrong direction. You say, preacher, what's that hope listening to? What does it whisper to you? When I get down and out and disheartened, it whispers to me about who I am. God bless you.